We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider, presented by Crumley Roberts. Visit CrumleyRoberts.com today to find out how they can stand up for you.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you, and the entire month of April is presented by Crumley Roberts. Visit CrumleyRoberts.com today and find out how they can stand up for you. We have a lot going on in this show. We have a lot to discuss. Adam doesn't feel good.
I'm great.
But here's something that I know will raise Adam's spirits. It's the fact that it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing great now.
Why? Because we're on the pod?
Because I heard the sweet sounds of Rebecca Black.
Ah, that got you juiced back up.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Adam's a little under the weather, but we're going to power through it.
As we always do.
Yeah. I get sick too, Adam. I just keep going.
Just keep going.
And we're going to keep going through this pod today with Adam, not one, not two, not three. Adam's got to be four. What? No. Five interviews.
Is that a record?
We had Mac Brown's staff. Can't remember how many we had when we did that. But similar vibe today.
Yeah.
Because, of course, with five interviews, they're all shorter.
They're all an hour.
They're all 90 minutes long. No. They're all between, like, 4 and 6 minutes. So they're all shorter with Carolina's new basketball staff, outside of Hubert Davis, of course. But the announcement made yesterday of the official staff for Carolina basketball, which makes up of the assistant coaches on the bench, Jeff Lebo. So you know Adam's mom's happy. Sean May and Brad Frederick. The staff members who are non-assistants, but part of the coaching staff, and by basically that just means can't be on the bench, can't be on the court with practice. That's Jack Emanuel and Eric Hoots. Hoots staying in the same position he had previously. Jack Emanuel, who's been an assistant at multiple stops, coming over from the women's team where he was last year. Jeff Lebo has been in the coaching profession for decades. He's coached, been a head coach, an assistant coach, a G League coach, a high school coach. Sean May, of course, moving up onto the bench. Brad Frederick, the only assistant coach staying put in where he was previously. So, you're going to hear from all five of those guys coming up. Speaking of five, Adam has a five-second challenge that I've got to try and answer. We have Champions Watch and List, Adam?
Yes.
Well, we're leaning heavily on a 50% Adam, but I think that we're I think we're going to still make it. So all of that coming up. And, of course, we are brought to you in part by Pinehurst. I'm going to work on my voiceover work, Adam.
I've heard you can make a career of that.
That's what I've heard. That'll make sense later. Not today.
Or will it?
There's more to the Pinehurst Resort than Donald Ross's masterpiece, Pinehurst No. 2. There's Gil Hance's stunning redesign of Pinehurst No. 4. And the cradle, a fun short course. Unwind at the stylish North and South Bar with its array of bourbons, whiskeys, and scotches. Or stop into Pinehurst Brewing Company. Craft beers, classic North Carolina barbecue. There has never, never been more to discover at the cradle of American golf. Go to Pinehurst.com and plan your visit today.
I feel like that Pinehurst ad would run probably after midnight, probably in the same segments with some pharmaceuticals.
We should have saved that for a pod after dark.
Yeah.
Welcome to the pod after dark, presented by Pinehurst. Adam, what else? What's up? What's going on?
It seems like a lot.
So, also, I want to give you one more quick reminder. We mentioned this last week. Or maybe it was earlier this week. Can't keep all these together at this point. We have a big spring football streaming show coming up next week. Looking forward to that. We're going to have interviews with Mac Brown, with a Tar Heel player, and with Lee Pace. Of course, you know Lee covers Carolina. He's was our color analyst this past year. Did an awesome job filling in for Brian Simmons in the COVID-affected season. But we're going to have stuff from all three of those parties and some other cool stuff too. So looking forward to that streaming show next week, focusing solely on spring football. Just a reminder, because we've had so much basketball stuff going on, Adam, that we haven't been able to talk as much spring football as we normally would during this time period. But with so much basketball news happening, that's been dominating our focus.
But there's obviously a lot of spring football excitement because the spring game is sold out.
Absolutely sold out I think it was just mere minutes that the game sold out.
Yeah, like the time it would take you to read a Pinehurst spot.
Yeah. So we are looking forward to that coming up next week. Hope you can join us. And we'll make sure you know the exact time, but I think it's going to be Thursday at 1, that normal streaming show time that we'll put it out. And then, of course, it'll be available on demand after that. But, Adam, I do think we have to start with the fact that the basketball staff appears to be complete. That's not to say that there might not be another addition down the road. But I think for the most part, complete. And Hubert Davis did what he said he was going to do. And that is have, to use his term, Carolina guys on the staff. And in fact, even in the release, you know, he said, this is quoting Coach Davis from the release. I wanted a staff that went to North Carolina, played at North Carolina. I think you have a great opportunity to do this job well if you experienced it as a player. It's not the only way, of course, but given there are so many former players who are coaching, it's a great way to build my first staff as a head coach. So softening that stance a little, which I don't think was a bad thing to do, but it was a clear desire of his to have North Carolina guys on his staff, people who understood the program. Adam, I think you have, in the three guys on the bench, Jeff Lebo, who is an experienced head coach, which I think you needed to have someone who has been a head coach on this staff, because Hubert Davis has not been a head coach before. And so I think having Jeff Lebo, who also is a really well-respected kind of X and O basketball guy, in addition to a former head coach, I think it's a good play. Sean May, who people around Carolina really feel like has an extraordinarily bright future in coaching. Sean's a younger person in that field, big-time personality, I think has the potential to be a big-time recruiter, is good at communicating and relating to people. Of course, he extraordinarily successful. His numbers up in the rafters. He was, as we all know, the Final Four most outstanding player in 2005. And then Brad Frederick, who has been in the program, who I think helps keeps a little bit of that consistency that you're hoping to do, while also freshening things up. But he provides you kind of that stability as well. Brad, very active in Carolina's transfer portal work, and has been in coaching for a long time, so he's seen a bunch of different things. It's a staff, I think, that checks a lot of the boxes. I do think it's dangerous, Adam, when you're building your staff. I think people just start throwing out some crazy suggestions that then they feel like it's fact, right? Like when you say, oh, well, what about Vince Carter? Or what about Rasheed Wallace? And I mean, Rasheed Wallace is a high school coach right now. Like, why would Vince Carter has more money than, I mean, Vince Carter could probably outfit Pod World Headquarters pretty nicely, should he choose to do so. I mean, he doesn't, I just don't know if that's exactly something he needs or wants to do right now. But my point of this is, I think people start getting these ideas that are a little crazy at times, when in reality, I think there's a very solid staff that checks a lot of the boxes that I think you need to have checked when you're building your assistant coaching staff.
There's a difference between the biggest name staff you can come up with and the best coaching staff you can come up with.
Yes. Thank you for summarizing better what I was trying to say.
And you just have to depend on Hubert Davis, that he has a feel for what areas he felt like he needed to shore up. Maybe he felt like he's not as strong in one area, so let's bring in somebody who's really good at this. People who know a lot more about coaching than we do say Sean May is going to be a great coach. I think the Carolina big guys from the last few years would tell you that he has given them all sorts of knowledge in the film room and just kind of talking in the locker room. Jeff Lebo, if you remember the Dean Smith era, the prevailing theory was that he was the most Dean Smith-like of any of those coaches who came along at that time. Sort of in the way he approached the game, how he thought about it. His dad's a longtime and very successful high school coach. And one thing you'll hear him talk about is he's made that transition from assistant coach to head coach. So I think he'll be able to anticipate some of the hurdles that Hubert Davis will have to overcome in the next year or so. I really liked the Jeff Lebo hire the more we got to talk to him. He knows the game. And I think he's the kind of asset that will really benefit Hubert Davis on the bench during games, because that's an area where we haven't seen Hubert Davis do it before, unless you've been to a JV game, and that's a little different when the opponent is Vance Community College. So I think that's going to be helpful. We, of course, already know Brad Frederick and know that he's done a great job, and as you said, he's really shown a knack in the transfer portal. You have to have Eric Hoots and Jackie Manuel. I think it's interesting what everyone on the women's basketball side talks with him about is they say he was great with the current team and just connecting with the current players, making them feel cared for. And I think that's something that you need on the men's side right now, because I think they're wanting that. And so, and anybody who knows Jackie Manuel knows he always makes you feel like you're his best close personal friend, because he's so nice. So I like the way the staff fits together. Of course, perhaps there'll be some added down the road, but as for this group now, it seems like they fit a lot of the things that you're looking for on this type of staff.
Adam, I think something that you and I have learned, and I'll be interested if you agree with me on this, and I have said this to you before, I don't think we've talked about it on the air. From hearing Hubert Davis, both publicly, from knowing some things that he's said not publicly, from hearing the assistant coaches talk some, both publicly and not publicly, it seems like one of Hubert Davis's main agendas if not the number one main agenda from the actual, I'm talking about just straight basketball here, is individual player development. That seems to be really, really important to him as far as making sure that the coaches are ready to provide any individual whatever he wants to try and get better. And by that, I mean time, individual work, whether it's film work, discussions, work on the court, how they may structure practice moving forward. It seems like he is adamant that he wants to make sure that if the guys are ready to work, that work is fully supported to the highest level to make sure that they can see the benefits from that work.
And I think that was a message Hubert Davis got across. Most of the current team came back into town this week. They had been gone because really they had been in Chapel Hill basically in quarantine for several months. So they went home, did some online classes. Now most of them, if not all by this point, are back. So Coach Davis was able to meet with them earlier this week, and that seemed like the message he tried to get across to them, that the resources are going to be there. That doesn't mean Brad Frederick's going to come pick you up at your dorm room and escort you to the Smith Center and say, "All right, Johnny, it's time to take your jumpers." You've got to put forth a little initiative, but when you put forth that initiative, you will find the resources you're looking for. And I think that's something that not only is important to Hubert Davis, but that's something today's college player wants to hear, because they've grown up with a skills trainer and someone who works with them every single day. And today we're going to learn this, and tomorrow we're going to learn that. And so they're comfortable with that. And I think that's something that will appeal to them.
Adam, I still have a couple things I want to go to as it relates to basketball, but anything else staff-wise that you wanted to mention before we move forward?
I think when you listen to the Sean May interview, he's got a couple really interesting things to say about the style that I think are important. And I like that he also threw in there that perhaps analytics will drive decisions a little more than they have in the past. And we didn't ask him to get into it because we had limited time. But I thought that was interesting that he would voluntarily bring that up, because it does seem like that's going to be part of the mix.
Also, and I haven't read your column yet, Adam, about the staff.
Well, that's fine.
Because I normally wait until I absolutely have nothing else to do. And I'm like, fine, okay. Yeah. I'll give Adam a click. I think it would be unfair to suggest that Carolina just hired a bunch of Hubert Davis's friends that they just, so they can all hang out together and let's see if we can get this team work out. Yeah, we'll work a couple hours, then go hit the golf course. I mean, these are hardworking, dedicated, good coaches too. And I understand the narrative. And we ask a lot of the assistants about, hey, you know, Coach Davis said it was important to have Carolina guys. I understand that narrative is there, and some of that's because Hubert Davis was very aggressive in what he said during his press conference. But it's not like he just went down the rosters and started calling everybody from every Tar Heel team from 1980 to 2005 to see who was interested. I mean, he's found guys that either have proven they are good coaches, or in Sean May's case, that he feels like really has the potential to be an excellent coach and is ready to take that next step from a more support staff role to on the bench.
It's not like he was like, let's get the Granville Towers gang back together.
Right. Yeah, let's do this then so we can hang out and maybe win a few games.
Well, and I think too, I think if you can be too quick to judge and say, oh, he just picked some Carolina guys. He also made some pretty tough decisions about who he didn't include.
Absolutely.
And I think that tells you something about Hubert Davis, just like who he did include. And I think if he was just this old happy-go-lucky Hubert making everybody happy, making all the heels like him, he wouldn't have made some of the choices he made. And so I think that tells you a lot. I mean, when you narrow the field to Carolina guys, you're still left with a really good field. It's not like you're narrowing it to Apex High School guys. So I think that's been a little unfair, I guess, to Hubert Davis and to the staff.
And we should say, part of what you're referencing, Adam, is Steve Robinson. And, I mean, Steve Robinson, who had a terrific coaching career the last 18 years at Carolina, and he is not going to get the same amount of recognition as Roy Williams, of course, but he's been an enormous part of Carolina's success over those nearly two decades with Coach Williams at the helm. And I hope Carolina fans understand and appreciate all that he did for this program.
And if you don't know, go back and look at Coach Williams' comments at his press conference about Steve Robinson and how important they've been together and just a great career in coaching. If it's over, it may not be.
So, Adam, a couple of things before we get to these interviews. Carolina is still active in the transfer portal because they need to be. Armando Bacot, we know, still testing NBA waters. And we have not mentioned Lil Jerb, Garrison Brooks, announcing that he wanted to take advantage of his extra year but would be entering the transfer portal and looking to do something or looking to have that extra year somewhere else. And so we've mentioned this a few times, but there is a gap in the front court right now for the Tar Heels. And if you're following closely what the Heels are doing as far as their inquiries in the transfer portal, you can see that they are actively trying to fill some of those voids.
I can't remember a time when all these two early top 25s have been more useless than this year. The teams you're ranking bear no resemblance to what the actual teams are going to look like in a month or 3 months. So I wouldn't put a lot of weight in those.
Adam, anything else before we get to these interviews?
No.
It has been a whirlwind couple of weeks. Oh, we need to say congratulations to Wes Miller, head coach at Cincinnati. I was excited to see Wes get that job. I think he's going to be really, 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 really good.
I completely agree, and I think that's a good step because you can win there. They have won there quite a bit in the past. It's a prominent program that people pay attention to, and you can recruit there. And I think he'll be great as a Bearcat.
Yeah, awesome to see that for Wes, so congratulations to him. Okay, let's get to these interviews. So we'll just roll them right in a row. And again, none of them are very long. They're all between, I think, 7 and 4. I mean, they're all about that same length. So it is 5 interviews, but altogether it's no more than half an hour total, and I don't even think it's that long. So we'll go through all of those. Come back. We got the back half of the show coming up. Quick reminder that we are brought to you in part by LS Tractor. Don't let your outside chores or projects cause you to miss any Tar Heel game action. Let LS Tractor make short work of them. That's normal yard maintenance to larger projects as well. LS Tractor has the machine for you. LSTractorUSA.com. So the letter L, the letter S, then Tractor, then USA.com. LS Tractor, what's it about for you? All right, let's get to our conversations with the 5 staff members of Carolina basketball.
A member of 2 Final Four teams as a player in Chapel Hill and a member of the Carolina basketball staff, Brad Frederick, joining us here. Brad, it has been a busy couple of weeks. Take us through what's been going on and just all the changes around Carolina basketball.
Sure, yeah, it's been a wild couple weeks. You know, obviously everyone knew that at some point Coach Williams would walk away. You just didn't expect to be that day, you know. And so when he told us, obviously we were all stunned, and then began the process of trying to figure out who the next coach would be. And so for me personally, I knew that I hoped that Hubert Davis would have the opportunity. I've been privileged to be with him for the last 8 years, sit next to him on the bench, have an office next to him, and just see his passion for Carolina. And so when I had an opportunity to express my thoughts to Bubba, I said, you know, I think there's no better guy than Hubert to lead this program going forward. So we just dealt with the whirlwind. Obviously, you know, as you go through a coaching search and our current players, the biggest thing we tried to do is reassure them that no matter what happened, we were going to get a great coach at Carolina.
You've worked down the hall from Coach Davis for, as you said, 8 years now. What's something people don't know about him that you feel like they should?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Hubert is most people assume that he's a quiet guy. You know, everybody says what a nice guy Hubert is. What you don't see behind the scenes is how much passion he has. You know, having the privilege of going into a home with Hubert and Coach Williams when he talks about his love for Carolina, just like you heard him at the press conference, it just shines through so much. But it's also that passion, that competitive spirit he has, you know, that you don't get to see where maybe it's a halftime talk or a talk after the game or his work with the players where you really see that shine through.
Brad, you've been a part of Carolina basketball as a player and now as a coach and staff member for a long time now. Yep. Why was it important for Carolina basketball to have Carolina basketball guys leading this program?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, I feel so extremely fortunate to have been around Coach Smith, have the privilege to play for him and then Coach Guthridge, and then to work the last 8 years with Coach Williams. And what you see and what you, you know, you're around so many former players. The Carolina basketball family is like no other family. Other people have tried to talk about it, but there's nothing like the bond of the Carolina family. And so keeping it in-house, keeping it in the family, I think was really important because not only does Hubert have a responsibility to the basketball program and the university, but he also has a responsibility to the former players. And that's a big group, and that's a passionate group. And those guys care about the success of the program. And so I really think it would be hard for somebody outside of the program to come in and understand all the dynamics of that.
Now, we don't have someone on this set without doing intense journalistic research. So we have done our homework,
right,
and we have a very important question to ask you. Can you relay to us the story of your deep sea fishing expedition?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, so my best friend, Scott Williams, of course, that played with me here, Coach Williams' son, we went to Charleston, and we thought of the great idea of let's go deep sea fishing. Coach Williams has a house in Charleston down Isle of Palms, so we went out, paid a ridiculous amount of money to go deep sea fishing. And so the night before, everyone said, or the morning of the deep sea fishing, everybody said, hey, you know, let's take this Dramamine. And I was like, nah, I'm good, you know. And so the boat heads out, and we get to the choppy water, and to me, it felt like we were out in a perfect storm. I don't know if you've seen that movie where it's all going crazy. So next thing you know, I am in complete fetal position on the boat. I don't remember anything except for how sick I was. We got back, you know, all night I'm laying, and I just feel like I'm just bouncing and bouncing and bouncing. So I will never go deep sea fishing again without making sure I take some kind of patch.
That's right. Lesson learned from Brad. See, he's coachable. That's good. Exactly. Brad, thanks so much for your time. Excited for the future of Carolina basketball. So glad that you're a part of it.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
I'm going to make a true statement, and I want to see what our guest has to say about this statement.
Oh.
You cannot have Carolina basketball without Eric Hoots. Mm. Hoots, what do you think? It's true. What do you think?
A lot of people have said that in these past few weeks, and I'm very honored. I can't tell you how much that means to me to hear that, knowing where I came from. But Carolina basketball, like Coach Williams always said, is Dean Smith and Michael Jordan and Phil Ford. And everyone always says that if Carolina basketball can continue without Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge, and we're going to continue without Coach Williams on the Coach Davis, it's a large group of former Carolina Tar Heels that are extremely proud to wear the Carolina blue. And in my case, I never wore it. I've just been fortunate enough to work here.
So, Eric, for folks who don't know you or don't know what your role is, explain a little bit what it is that you do for Carolina.
Sure. I think the easiest way to describe it, Jones, is I handle everything off the court. I do whatever I can behind the scenes to make life easier for all the coaches, whether that be I manage the Nike account, I'm the academic liaison to work with Jen Townsend up on campus, I work with our housing, I handle all the travel, the hotels and the buses on the road, and then a big part, and probably my favorite part, is continuing the communication with our former players and making sure that they still feel a part of the family, and if they need anything, they call me and go through me. But the easiest way to say is I handle as much as I can off the court so the coaches recruit and coach and win games, and That's what we try to do.
I have to imagine you heard from a lot of former players here over the last couple of weeks. What was that? Those conversations like? What was their input like when there was going to be a transition at the head coaching spot?
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, you know, just the whole, it was a big roller coaster of emotions. I mean, that first morning when Coach Williams told us that he was retiring and he asked me to call a large group of former players, the first few, I couldn't get out. I called Tyler Hansbrough and I was very emotional, and you just think about that's what this place is about, the relationships that you build and that you have, and that everyone cares so much about this place, and everybody cares about the people. And so that was really tough. But then as it got, you know, as the process went on and talking to all the guys that, you know, applied for the job and then guys that who wanted their input, it was great. And that's what makes this place special, is that everyone does care and everyone wants us to be successful. So it was great to feel that support from all of our former players.
On an average day, can you estimate how many text messages you receive?
No, I can't.
It's in the hundreds. Is it in the thousands?
No, it's not in the thousands. Okay. It's not in the thousands. But it's funny. Like yesterday, I got a text from Nate Britt in Germany asking me his ring size because his German coach wanted it. I was like, Nate, I got some things going on, buddy. But you know what? You're 9.5. So I looked up his ring size. He was good to go, and he called me this morning. But that's my favorite part of the job, is staying in touch with those guys. So it's pretty special.
So much of staying in touch with those guys is firsthand personal contact, seeing them in the Smith Center, going out to see the NBA guys on the road. Having not been able to do that over the last 12 to 14 months or so, what have you learned about the Carolina family and how to sustain that when you can't do it the normal way?
What I've learned is that you can't, it's undefeated, I guess. It doesn't matter what you throw at it. I mean, we have a large group chat on WhatsApp. That's constantly going with, you know, Maktar, Ed Geth, Donald Williams, all those guys, which is great to support. And then the one thing that we did during COVID is that group, and along with Kenny Smith and Antoine and Vince, and a large part of us, we raised a large amount of money to help the Hargrave Center in Chapel Hill. So working directly with them, doing that was huge. And then during the season, they're texting us after games, texting us after wins and losses, which is great. But I do look forward to this summer. I can't tell you, I don't know if I've ever been more excited for a summer to have those guys come back to Chapel Hill. And I really am excited for Caleb and RJ and Kerwin and Puff and all those guys to get to experience that and play with those guys and be around and like feel the Carolina family.
Eric, before we let you go, what have you learned about Hubert Davis in maybe the last 2 weeks that, and I know you've worked with Hubert for a long time, but maybe that you didn't know until now?
Yeah, and Hubert for 7 years was also my next door neighbor, so I also had that dynamic going on. The one thing that I've always known about Hubert is, A, he like loves the university. He absolutely loves this basketball program, and that's never been in question. But the biggest part about Hubert is he loves people, and he loves the people that are in this program, and then he loves our players. But his passion for us and for us to win, he's got a lot of people are going to see a different side of Hubert. And you know, he had that, obviously, as an assistant coach with Coach Williams. It was Coach Williams' show. It was his program. And Coach Davis did what he could to support him, but now it's his show, and he's going to step into it. He's ready. He's prepared. I'm super excited.
We're excited as well. Of course, Carolina basketball couldn't go on without this guy, so we're excited that he's here, too. That's Eric Coots. Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
There is no one on planet Earth more excited at this exact moment right now than my mother. Because her all-time favorite Tar Heel ever is sitting right there. Jeff Lebo, new Carolina assistant coach. Coach Lebo from the Lucas family. We are just ecstatic you are here, and probably there's some shrieking.
Well, I love your mother. I can't wait to meet her.
Coach, take us through the last couple weeks for you and just what this process has been like.
Well, it's been an emotional roller coaster in a lot of areas. You know, obviously starting back with Coach Williams and finding out that he's stepping down, and then the process between there and then Coach Davis getting the job. And then a few days later, I was power washing my porch in Moorhead City, and Hubert calls me. And I said, Hubert, what do you want? Because I'm power washing my deck.
And he said, well,
I need you to stop for a second. So it's been a whirlwind, and it's just an exciting time for me to be able to come back the place that I love so much and to be able to coach here with Coach Davis, who is just a guy that I've really enjoyed getting to know over the past years. Obviously played with him. But just to be back and be part and be by his side with his great staff.
So, of course, you've been in the coaching profession for a long time, head coach at multiple stops, including Auburn, East Carolina, Tennessee Tech. What can you bring to this staff, and how can you use some of that past experience to help this staff?
Well, I want to serve any way that they want me to. Whatever Coach Davis needs me to do, I hope I can provide. I've been in this business my whole life. I've been a head coach for 20 years. I've had a lot of different experiences. And that's move from that assistant seat to the head coaching seat is a big one. And I've sat in that seat. I made that move. I want to be able to help in any way that he sees that I can serve him the best. And to be on this staff, too, to even help, you know, some of the younger coaches and to learn from them, too. I mean, I'm a basketball junkie. I love to learn. I love to change. I love to do different things. I love to study the game. And there are things that hopefully I can bring to Coach Davis and the staff.
Now, I have coached my son in 10-year-old baseball, which is pretty much the same thing as Atlantic Coast Conference basketball. What is it like to coach Creighton, and what have those conversations with Creighton been like the last few days?
Well, it's I talked to him first before I accepted the job to make sure that he was okay with Dad being around a lot more. And I even asked if I could stay with him in the transition, and that was a no. So I got to find a place to stay right now. But, you know, just to be able to be with my son, you know, I left East Carolina because I felt so bad about not being able to see him play. And you miss so much as a coach, and it tears at your heart at times. So to be able to watch him play in high school, to be able to work him out, and now to be able to enjoy the college experience with my son at this place, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And he better get ready. I just know that. It's not going to be easy, as he knows, but it's going to be a lot of fun to share it with him.
Coach, we have heard so much about the Carolina basketball family, and we know about it, and you hear about it, but it's especially been out front here the last couple of weeks. As a full-fledged member of that family, what is it that makes it so special and different?
Well, I mean, there's 100 things that make it special. I think the one thing that I remember more than anything else is when I walked through that tunnel as a player, to feel the gaze of the players that came before me. Mm. And to understand what I was representing every day, not just on the floor, but off the floor, of those who set the bar high for us that came before us, but also set an example and a way to do things for those who are coming after us. And I want those players that play for us now to feel that. I know a lot of them probably do, but if they can feel that, I know we've achieved what we wanted to do, and they'll understand the importance of putting on that jersey, walking through that tunnel, and understanding the magnitude of wearing that Carolina basketball jersey.
3-point shooting contest, peak Jeff Lebo, peak Hubert Davis.
Ooh.
Who's the winner?
I have to see Hubert shoot. I don't know if he's shot in a while. And I'm not as good as I used to be. They moved the line back a little bit since when I was there. So, we'll fire up a few. We'll see. I'll let you know soon.
Okay.
I'll let you know soon.
We got some drills that we already know are going to be a part of a Carolina basketball practice. Get Hubert and Jeff out there for sure. Jeff, great to see you. So excited that you're back in Chapel Hill and excited for the future of Carolina basketball.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Franzino Smith to Kenny Smith. Top of the circle. Off to Lebo. 3-pointer. Good! 88-84. Jeff Lebo with 6 3-point field goals out of his 8 for the night.
That is Jackie Manuel.
Right over
this
there.
This is his posse. And he is back. Jackie, what's it like to be back over at men's basketball and part of the Carolina men's basketball program?
Man, it's exciting. 2011-12 was the first time here, and I never thought I would be back. And so coming back last year on a women's staff, I thought that would probably be the closest I ever got to being on a men's staff. And when Coach Davis got the job, I was like, wow, this could be an opportunity for me. So I'm just ecstatic for a chance to be back.
Jackie, what has this place meant to you? Because, I mean, clearly you've gone and done other things, but you have always kind of found your way back here. What has Chapel Hill and Carolina meant to you?
It's the beginning. This is like, I came here not knowing anything about life, and leaving here and starting the process of being an adult, meeting my wife here, it's kind of been all that I know. And so it's been an amazing journey, I tell you that. And to be back here to kind of complete that journey is a special moment.
Talking to some of the folks with the women's program, mm-hmm. they all talked about the connection you made with the current players and the difference you were able to make with them. Yeah. How were you able to establish that kind of connection, and how do you want to do it over here with the men's team?
I just love people. I love the interaction. And most importantly, I know how my journey was, and not knowing anything when I got here and still trying to figure out when I left. And so trying to cut that time in half for them and give back as much as I can. And it's the same thought process with joining the staff here. It's like, I want these guys to have as much information as they possibly can to just be better people and better adults. You know, you're gonna learn the basketball, but there's things that are also important outside of basketball.
So Coach Davis has been pretty clear that he wants Tar Heels on this staff and Carolina people. How cool is it for you to be working again with guys that you know very well, like Eric Hoots and Sean May and others?
I mean, it's awesome. to be with Hoots again, never thought I would be working with Sean. And even, you know, Hubert. Hubert's somebody that I've looked up to for a long time and thought he was like just the most amazing like person on this earth. And to just to be working for Hubert and be able to learn from him and just have a good group around you. And, you know, sometimes people take that for granted. But once you move around in this business and realize how hard it is to have special people that you're working with, you appreciate and value that.
Now, there's some competitors on this staff. We know Hoots thinks he's the best at everything. Sean was a pretty good basketball player. Mm-hmm. Hubert, fairly good at basketball. Jack Emanuel, pretty good. Jeff Lebo, good shooter. When things turn competitive over in the basketball office, who's the guy you've got to watch out for, whether it's ping pong or shooting free throws at the Smith Center or whatever?
It's always the quiet guy. It's always the quiet guy that you got to watch out for. And that's who I'm trying to figure out. Who's the quiet guy? Probably not Sean. Sean's the guy doing all the talking. So I would say Hubert or Brad. Brad's the quiet guy. So,
Jackie, you look like you just stepped off of campus and finished playing at Carolina. Before you go, would you like to tell us your secret on how you're able to stay 22 years old for your entire life?
Think happy thoughts.
Well, it's all happy right now because Jackie Manuel's a part of Carolina basketball again. Jackie, great to see you. Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes and looking forward to the future.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Knocked away by Manuel. He goes to get it, drives, and dunks.
Whoa.
Oh, he stuck it right in Hodges' face. Manuel with six, and it's 32-29.
One of the three of us was the 2005 Final Four Most Outstanding Player. It was Adam. What a weekend he had. No, that, of course, was Sean May, now an assistant coach with Carolina basketball. Sean, great to see you. Take us through what's been going on this last week. I have to imagine it's been a whirlwind.
It's been a whirlwind. It's been a lot of fun. It's interesting to see, you know, Coach Davis and the way he's transitioned and handled everything. It's been awesome. Freddie and I have done a lot of communicating on picking up some of the load that he left when he went to be the head coach, and now we have to, you know, do a little bit more. But it's fun. It's been great. A lot of people asking a lot of questions that we can't give answers to. I'm really happy for Coach and Coach Williams and him being able to go off in retirement the way he wants, and I'm excited for the new opportunity for myself.
Coach Davis made it really clear he wants Carolina guys on his staff. What difference does that make in doing your job day to day on and off the court?
The thing I love is we're all from different eras of Carolina basketball, and being able to have guys that can talk and speak to what this place means to them and the experiences that they had, especially with recruiting and being able to relay that to the families of the kids that we're going after, it's special. And it's different for everybody. Obviously for myself, coming from Indiana and since I stepped foot on this campus, I haven't left, and I don't want to leave, and hopefully they'll keep me around for a long time. But this place is awesome, and we all try to portray that, and I think Coach Davis has done a great job of hiring a staff and people who feel the same way about Carolina.
Sean, of course, you've been a part of Carolina's staff the last several years, but taking an elevated role. How do things change for you now as far as what you're able to do and what you will be doing?
Yeah, so I'm selfish. I want to keep everything. I don't want to give anything away. No, I'll be able to get on the court, which is the most important thing to me. being able to be with the players. I have a great relationship with our guys. That's been hard for the last 6 years of just having to watch and watch practice and not really be able to say anything or do anything. And coach just told me, be patient. Your time is coming. Continue to work. Continue to learn. So I'll continue to do those things. Some of the things that I'll give up, a lot of administrative stuff. So I think Hubert will hire somebody to take on that task. But I'm trying to keep as much on my plate as I can because I love what I do.
Does it hurt your heart when current players know you as Sean May coach and have no idea that Sean May player dominated? And do you have to like go to the film room and be like, all right, guys, we're going to watch a little tape?
So the running joke with Coach Williams is, you know, whenever our big guys would struggle with posting up or he wanted to teach them something, he would just say, Sean, get the tape. And so there was a tape of us running a play that back when I played, and I loved it because it was just all me. And so anytime our guys, you know, they don't know that, you know, they don't go back and look and see the things I was able to do. And the tape is really bad as far as clarity, but they get the point. And so that is always a fun moment for me. And I'm just hoping Hubert says, you know, one day during practice, hey, Sean, go get the tape.
How depressing is it that the 2005 tape isn't clear enough anymore? That makes me sad. Sean, also now you can be a recruiter a little bit. How does your experience at Carolina, how does that allow you to more effectively recruit when you're selling North Carolina to potential players?
The thing I always try to, even when kids come to campus, explain to them or tell them is, you know, the way we play, it's our system, and how can you manipulate that system to fit your needs and get what you want out of it? I was a below the rim player. So I wasn't the fastest, I didn't jump the highest, but I found ways to be effective. And a lot of times it's understanding when things are happening and doing them before the ball gets to you. Work early, as you know, we always like to say. So for me, it's easy for me to speak to that. I can speak to what this community brings. This place gave me a home when I was a little lost and didn't know where I was gonna go because, you know, I'm from Indiana. I always felt like I was gonna go to Indiana. And so I can always speak to, you know, how great this place is, how great the community is, and how great the Carolina basketball family is. So that's the thing I always try to portray to kids.
You played in the NBA, Coach Davis played in the NBA. How do you mix Carolina basketball with a little more of that NBA style and input?
I think from, you know, the way the game has changed, most teams run five perimeter guys or, you know, will have a hybrid five out there that can really shoot and space the floor. I think you can still have our system and have great spacing. Don't have to play as traditional as two bigs on the low box. You can still play with two bigs. So for us, it's trying to find the pieces that match that. And then late in the shot clock, getting out and doing some different things, whether it be with pick and roll or spacing, that we just traditionally didn't do. And that it worked for a long time, and it still works. I'm still a big fan of it, but the game is changing a little bit, and teams are doing different things. Let analytics drive decisions a little bit. And so I think all these new ideas, I think you can pick and prod little things to add. By no means do I think we're revamping our system, and obviously that's Coach Davis's call, but I think the foundation of what this place is and the foundation that has been set for the last 30, 40 years, it's hard to argue why change it.
Sean, before we let you go, have you learned anything about Hubert Davis in the last maybe 2 weeks that you didn't know before then? Obviously, you guys have known each other, but yeah. Have you learned anything new?
He's got a button, and I've seen it in the last 4 or 5 days. And I didn't know that button was there. You know, we've gotten close to it a few times, but he's got a button you don't want to push. And I love that about him. I always tell people he has the mental makeup and the character that is perfect for the role that he's in. He has the disposition to handle the highs and the lows. And I think it's been awesome to see him transition, to see him communicate and what he wants and his vision has been really special for me in the first few weeks.
Williams on the drive, gets it back out to head, long outside shot, short, rebounded. May, it's over. Carolina has won the national championship.
Good stuff from all those guys, and we appreciate them taking the time. There's video of those interviews out as well. If you're interested in watching those, I'm sure you can find them through any of the traditional Go Heels media outlets. But our interviews every week brought to you by the Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. Texting while driving takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds, and at highway speeds, gosh, that's like driving the length of a football field, but doing it with your eyes closed. Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina want you to stay safe behind the wheel. Put down your phone while driving. Let's have a hands-free NC. To learn more, visit trustedchoice.com and find an agent near you. 5-second challenge, Adam, is the question asker today. I'm going to do my best to answer. Adam, what do we have?
I'm going to tell you that this is a tough one.
I have never been more clear of mind or focused on how to use my spiritual energy to answer this question correctly.
Me too. This is from our good friend Isaac, who, as we know...
No big deal. Adam had to use an Isaac question, which, I mean, they're awesome questions. Don't get me wrong.
They're made for days like this. Isaac sent us the following question, and he would like it to be asked of Jones. Jones, Carolina first started tracking assists
oh boy
in 1968-69.
Yeah, I remember that well.
A good year. Throughout the history of the Carolina basketball program, 7 different players have held the record for most assists in a single season.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say single game. Single season. Only 7 players have held the record?
If you'd like to see Isaac's research, you can look up page 106 in the big book.
Okay, hold on. We'll keep reading the question, but let me hear. Will you start again? I actually do need to hear this one again.
Throughout the history of the Carolina basketball program, 7 different players have held the record for most assists in a single season. 2 of the 7 set the record twice.
Okay, now I understand. I thought you were saying, like, only 7 guys was the single season assist leader at the end of each year for like 42 years, and I was like, the math doesn't work. But now I understand what you're saying. Okay.
Okay. Who are they?
Oh, gracious. Okay. All right. Okay. So tell me when I can get started, Adam.
You can start right now.
Kenny Smith, King Rice, Ed Cota, Kendall Marshall, Jeff Lebo, Phil Ford.
Got Phil Ford in there at the end. That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
You got 4 of the 7.
That's
really good. That's
pretty good.
You got Kendall Marshall,
yep,
who is the current record holder. He had 351 in 2011-12. He's still the only Carolina player to break 300 in a single season. Prior to Kendall was Ed Cota,
yep,
who, of course, you said. Ed Cota, former pod guest.
I'm Ed Cota. See you later, Big Grits.
274 for Ed Cota in the 98 season. And then, kind of surprisingly, 284 in the 2000 season. A lot of those to Joe Forte.
He was, well, remember, as Ed Cota told us, Adam, Tar Heels, I mean, Ed Cota was the engine of that 2000 team, which, I mean, I'm not sure they could have beaten Michigan State in the championship game that year. They could have beaten Florida and were leading the game when Ed Cota got a questionable fourth foul, as he told us.
Prior to Ed Cota, Kenny Smith.
Oh, got that one.
235 in the 1984-85 season.
And so Phil Ford must be the other one I got right.
Phil Ford had 203 in 76 and 217 in 77.
Okay, so that leaves 3 other players.
Correct.
What are my chances of getting these 3 players?
One is a former pod guest, and you might possibly think of him. The other one, one of the other ones you will not get, and one of the other ones is a good player, but I don't think you think of him as an assister.
Wow. Okay, I'll just give a couple guesses here, and then we'll get to the answers. I'm just see John Kuster.
No.
That's just a guess. Former pod player. Eddie Fogler.
No.
I don't know.
This was a while ago that he was on the pod. He was on the phone. Back when we used telephones. George Carl.
George Carl. I forgot George Carl was on the pod, actually.
Yeah.
I think I would have guessed George Carl, not in the initial guessing, but right now, had I remembered that he had been on.
192 in 1973. Prior to George Carl, this is one I don't think you would get. Steve Previs.
No, I mean, I certainly know who Steve Previs is, but I would not have guessed that.
151 in 1972. And then the good player who you don't think of as an assister, Charlie Scott.
Mm.
108, which he set in the first year they tracked assists, 1968-69.
Well, Adam, I have to say, I think I did pretty well.
I think you should be pleased with yourself.
I threw out a couple that weren't on there. What, Jeff Lebo, but Jeff Lebo had the, I think he's still tied, right? Or did Kendall, he's tied with Kendall Marshall and with Raymond Felton for single game assist in at 17?
He's in the mix.
Actually, I'm not sure Kendall's there. I think Kendall's high was 16. But I think Felton and Lebo are tied at 17. I can double check the record books here in a second. But so I thought that was a worthwhile guest.
Yeah. And
plus, he was just on the show.
Yeah, that's right. He is on this episode right here.
Yeah, it's worth giving it a shot.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, Jones, you should feel good about yourself.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Thank you, Jones. Adam, how about our Champions Watch, brought to you by UNC Health, which is dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds and to help keep you in the game and at your very best. You can see their lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports.
Wanted to mention a sport that I don't think has been the Champions Watch yet this spring, rowing.
Hmm.
They're down at Clemson tomorrow morning, Saturday at 10 o'clock. Oklahoma is also there. I did not know Oklahoma had a rowing team.
Me neither.
Where would you row in Oklahoma?
A man-made lake.
Across the plains. So that's tomorrow morning, Saturday at 10. But, of course, all sorts of other Tar Heel sports going on as we're getting close to some ACC and NCAA championship action.
Okay, Adam, it's Friday. It's springtime. We're all feeling good and fine. How about a list?
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
Very diverse list. First of all, Ryan Helms let us know that his dad's name is Steve, and Ryan can confirm all the Steve-isms.
Well, we've had a lot of Steve excitement. Also, David Cameron. David Cameron sent a picture of himself juxtaposed with a picture of Steve Carell, and they do look similar, especially with the glasses. And David Cameron, your head of hair, sir, is impressive. And he says, gulp, maybe we're all Steves.
The Steve really took off, in large part due to Miles. Nice job, Miles.
Yeah, really cool, Miles. So we've already gotten requests to have Miles on the pod. Well, here's the thing. And Adam, you mentioned this to me off air, and I think it's right. I don't think we can. Miles has to be an idea, right? Like, Miles could be whoever you want Miles to be. Any gender, any ethnicity, any religious background. Whatever you want Miles to be is really what Miles is. We don't need to give Miles a hard voice or face. He or she is just whatever you want Miles to be.
What if Miles is Jones or me?
Could be.
And it's just our stage name.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Maybe Adam has, in an effort to better himself, because Adam, one thing I've learned is that you should never stop learning.
Right.
What if Adam took some Photoshop classes? I mean, maybe that happened.
I don't think Miles is going to be making a pod appearance. Knowing Miles as we do, I don't think Miles would be comfortable doing that. And you just make of that what you will. What does that really mean? Bobby Casey said, Jones could definitely be named Adam, but Adam could not be a Jones.
No, it's an exclusive club. There are very few people that can be.
Bobby also says Adam is a Steve.
I enjoyed. So there was a poll up about whether or not you thought Adam was a Steve, right? And so I don't know if Byron Sykes came in too late to be able to click like one of the choices, which were basically yes or no on the poll. The actual choices were absolutely or not at all, but basically yes or no. So Byron responded to the text and just said no.
I think that,
or to the tweet, excuse me.
I think that carries more weight than just clicking the button. Yeah. Like, I think
Byron has very forcefully let his opinion be known.
Yeah, I think that's worth roughly 10 votes when you actually reply in the tweet. Bradley Cox made a good point. Why are you guys wondering if Adam is a Steve? Call Baden Jackson and ask him.
Yeah. You did get your Baden Jackson. Oh, that's right. We went through, but he never did mine.
No.
That's cool, so Baden.
We'll never know.
It's fine, Baden Jackson.
You might be a Miles.
That's fine, Baden Jackson. You only want to do Adam/Steve's and not mine. That's fine.
Matt Norlander tweeted out some potential rules changes for basketball for next year.
Okay. Yes. Do you have them in front of you, or do I need to pull them up?
I have them in front
of me. Okay. I'm glad you do, because I want to talk about some of these.
There's quite a few, and these, I don't think these are before the rules committee yet. I think these were responses to the potential rules survey.
Right. Yeah. These are just ideas that they're floating out there.
Widen the lane to 16 feet.
Fine. Whatever.
Yeah, it's fine.
Is that like FIBA? I always, whenever they talk about the lane, it's always trying to get it to FIBA standards. Okay.
This is really the only time in your life that you ever find need to use the word trapezoid.
Right.
Are we going to go to the trapezoid lane?
Just whatever.
I guess. Reset team fouls at the 10-minute mark of each half and begin double bonus on the fifth team foul of each 10-minute segment. Okay. This eliminates one and one.
Okay. If you're going to do that, just go to quarters.
Just do quarters.
Which is fine, too.
Yeah.
As we've discussed, Division I men's basketball is the only level of basketball that uses halves and not quarters. The pro game, the women's pro game, the women's college game, men and women high school, international, everybody uses quarters except for Division I men's basketball. That's fine. Go to quarters. There's no sense in having this arbitrary, oh, wait, the clock has gone to 9:59, reset the fouls.
That's so dumb.
And inevitably, there's going to be a foul like right at the 10-minute mark.
Yes.
And it's going to be confusing as where it goes, right?
Yes.
So just do quarters if you're going to do that, which, again, I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like getting rid of the one-and-one because I think there's the stress aspect of the one-and-one. But if you adopt this rule or go to quarters, I don't have a great suggestion of how to intertwine the one and one in that. Like, oh, at the third foul, you start doing one and one. I don't know.
I like the one and one. That makes there's just better theater.
Except for when the Tar Heels miss multiple front ends of the one and one, then I don't like it.
When it hurts the Tar Heels, I'm against it.
Right.
I'll need to see next year's roster before I know fully how I feel about this.
Right. Well, Adam, one thing I will say, Jeff Lebo is an excellent free throw shooter.
That is correct.
Hubert Davis, excellent free throw shooter.
I don't think either of them will be eligible to take free throws.
But maybe they can impart some of that wisdom.
That's true. Allow laptops or similar devices in the bench area for coaching purposes. Okay, fine.
Clemson nods furiously, yes.
Yeah. Adopt a modified 6-foul rule with the following provisions.
Okay, let me just hit timeout real fast. This is convoluted and difficult. Okay, untimeout.
A player may not commit more than 3 personal or technical fouls in any one half. And if you do, penalty is disqualification. So wouldn't you just come out when you had 3 fouls? They just take you out.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. A player may commit 3 personal or technical fouls in the first half and 3 in the second half.
Which, by the way, you're going to get 3 technical fouls? Or do they just mean that's it can be like the technical foul can be a part of the personal fouls?
According to this, I think you could get 6 technical fouls. In this case, the player is allowed 6 fouls before being disqualified. A player may commit 2 personal or technical fouls in the first half and would be disqualified on his 4th personal or technical foul in the second half, total 6 fouls.
Right.
This is a long way of saying we're going to allow 6 fouls.
Well, but you can't get 4 fouls in the first half in this scenario, or you're eliminated, right?
That is correct. You will be eliminated.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You committed your 4th foul.
It just seems like a lot of work.
A player may commit 0 or 1 personal or technical fouls in the first half and would be disqualified on the player's 4th personal or technical in the second half.
So if you don't have any fouls, you're basically reset to 4 at halftime. Like, you can only get 4, so you don't get 6. So you can get 6 for the whole game, but if you don't commit some early, you can only get 4 in the second half. It's too complicated.
If there's one thing I've been thinking watching college basketball, it's that if I feel that we need to give officials more complicated SAT problems to keep up with because they've got a complete handle on everything else.
Yep. This one I don't like. If you want to go to 6 fouls, just go to 6 fouls. I would rather keep it at 5.
Yeah, just don't foul. What's hard about that?
Right. I mean, I know because the pros are 6, and remember when
that's 8 minutes longer.
Right. Remember the Big East went to six for like a season that one time?
Of course they did.
And so, but just keep it at five.
Just keep it at five. Why do you need six fouls? Don't foul.
Right.
Do we want to encourage people to foul?
And you don't see people fouling out like left and right.
It's not some epidemic.
Right. That one to me, I'm not down with.
Why would we encourage people to foul? Don't we want less fouls?
Well, as some future rules that you're about to read suggest, they seem to be kind of talking out of both sides of their mouths on the foul situation.
This one's not fouls. Award possession of the ball to the defense when they create a held ball situation. We need more judgment calls.
Right. They've tried that before.
Yes.
And there's just some gray area there.
Yes.
Hey, Adam, I've got an idea. Throw the ball up. Why is college basketball so afraid of throwing the ball up? Brian Kersey has told us that it's not an easy thing to do, but I would think if you've achieved the goal of being an ACC official, you can semi-competently throw the ball up in the air for two people to try and tip it. That's what everybody else does.
Out of three officials, surely one of them can throw the
right.
ball in the
Maybe
air.
You've got like your ace ball thrower.
Yeah. Oh, look at this crew. We've got a great ball thrower.
Yeah.
Out here.
Oh, good news, guys. AJ decides on this crew. He's a good ball thrower. So we're good on any potential jump balls. Just throw the ball in the air.
We don't need more judgment calls.
Right. And again, they tried this a couple years ago where it was like, if the defense initiates the jump ball, but if they don't initiate it, how can just if there's either do nothing, either keep the possession arrow if you want to, or throw the ball up. We don't need to add other weird ideas.
Well, if I fall on the floor and I've got the ball and then you jump on me.
Right.
Did you force that or did I because I fell down?
Right. Let's ask AJ Desai and see what he thinks.
He thinks we should throw the ball up because he's an ace ball thrower. Limit the number of timeouts that may be called by any one team in the last 2 minutes of the second period or of any overtime period to two.
Why even have timeouts if you can't use them how you want to use them?
That's part of the strategy of the game. I understand there's a lot of timeouts, but just take a timeout away.
Well, they've already done that, remember?
Take another timeout away.
I mean, you youngins don't remember when it was a 45-second shot clock and everybody had like six timeouts.
I don't think you should dictate to a coach when he can
no
how he lays out his game strategy.
No, this one, again, I don't agree with. You only have four timeouts in the game. If you want to cut it down to three, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'd be fine cutting it to three and you don't have the use it or lose it or something like that.
Right.
But no, don't tell a coach when he can or cannot take a timeout.
I'm going to tell you something. The problem is not the timeouts. It's the reviews.
Right.
That act like timeouts. In the last 2 minutes of the second period or of any overtime period, allow instant replay review of potential shot clock violations when the shot is unsuccessful.
Okay.
I guess.
Let's do some more reviews.
Yeah.
Like
people are clamoring for more reviews.
So in my mind, I'm trying to diagnose this one. So basically what would happen is I guess the only way that this would be a huge benefit is if the team got an offensive rebound.
Right.
Because without that, it's unnecessarily stopping the game.
When the other team might be running out.
Right.
You might have gotten the defensive rebound and be headed down the court.
I mean, more reviews, Adam?
Eliminate the 10-second backcourt rule.
No.
Why would I want to do that?
That's...
But you're asking Tony Bennett to spend 20 seconds in the backcourt.
Yeah. Is that what you
like
want?
Setting up his red
Do
rover.
You want to watch Kihei Clark sit there underneath the baseline on the defensive side for Virginia with the ball on his hip?
Yeah. Guys, this is how Thomas Jefferson used to play.
And Adam, when's the last time you saw a 10-second violation anyway?
Well, when you do see it, it's because the other team played good defense.
Right. Allow them to play defense.
Don't we want the team to play good defense? This is some guy came up with this who was like, I'm having trouble getting the ball across.
Well, and if
let's just get rid of it.
So the women's game, I think, does not have a 10-second rule, correct?
I think that's right.
But I just... Maybe. I don't know.
Now, here's one we'll fully endorse. Permit the use of instant replay on all basket interference or goaltending calls throughout the game, but only when a call has been made by an official. What does that mean?
Well, who else is going to make it?
Guys, Armando Bacot's blown his whistle.
Guys, Joe NC State fan in row R has decided that this one needs to be reviewed.
So does that mean when you can only review it when there's a stoppage? Or does that mean that the official has to have made a goaltending call in order to review it? Because kind of the way it reads is, in the instance we're most familiar with during the ACC tournament,
right,
that would not have been reviewed because no call was made by an official. Unless it's saying you can review it at the next stoppage. Not very well worded.
No.
You should be able to review that. It counts for points.
Yes.
Actual points. How about this one? Permit a team to decline free throws in the last 2 minutes of the last period or any overtime period and elect possession of the ball for a throw-in instead.
This, to me, is the most dramatic one. Like, I've never even contemplated that before.
You can just decline the free throws.
But, so, if I have the lead, why would I ever want to, if I'm up four, why would I ever take the free throw?
When would I ever shoot?
Right. I would just keep passing it in and making you foul me.
I just want to keep the ball. I'm just going to run the clock out throwing the ball in.
Right. Like that, that one, I think maybe right when someone, when they were all hanging out at the North and South bar after a round at Pinehurst and somebody threw that out, they're like, wow, that's kind of a cool idea. But I think in practical usage, maybe not.
Eliminate offensive basket interference after the ball hits the ring or flange would make the rule consistent with FIBA.
Well, there's one thing we need to do is be consistent with FIBA.
Could we talk about the trapezoidal lane? I think that's weird. I don't like it.
Eh.
Adjust the traveling rule to allow a player to take two steps after lifting his pivot foot. That's new. Which would make moves such as the spin move, Euro step, and step back shot legal. I think James Naismith may have written these.
Well, I mean, that's already happening. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, what? You don't need to make that legal. It's already occurring.
Right.
How about if you take a shot beyond this line painted on the court, it's worth three. And then the last one, eliminate the 5 second closely guarded rule.
They've already mostly done that. Now the only way it's even active is if you've picked up your dribble, and that only happens maybe once a season.
But again, it happens because a team is playing good defense.
Right. They've already eliminated the on the ball while you're dribbling 5 second rule.
Which I think I kind of liked.
So I am hoping that, as you said, these are more just kind of the wild ideas that have been thrown about.
This is like what's written on the napkin.
Right. There's no way that all of that is going to happen.
No. That's too much.
Too much to our beautiful game.
Yeah.
That's clearly being played at the highest possible level right now. All right. Let's go watch Houston versus Memphis, guys.
Last thing. Kate Leslie sent us this email. It says, here's my NFT. She says, Jones and Adam, how do I get this thing over to the Top Shot guys? This is a photo of a telephone pole in Carrboro in 2012. And she says, I want to monetize this thing, baby. It's like a flyer that's stapled to a telephone pole that says, Hubert Davis as assistant coach at UNCCH, why not? I legitimately think you can make a lot of money with this as an NFT.
Yeah. Adam will pay you $6 million for that right now, Kate Leslie.
I'll give you 12 Bitcoin.
Like I said, $6 million. Oh, Adam, anything else before you go home and curl up into a ball?
Just a normal Friday afternoon. No.
All right. Okay. Well, boy, Adam. Let's see here. Sean May, check. Yes. Brad Frederick, yes, check. Eric Hoots, yes, check. Jack Emanuel, yes, check. Jeff Lebo, oh no. Wait a second, Adam! We've got to see you later, Big Grits, from him as well. So we're going to let all five of them, plus the RZA, get us out of here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
This is Brad Frederick, hoping never to be confused again as Eric Montross. So, signing off. See you later, Big Grits.
This is Eric Hoots, and I'd love to tell everyone, see you later, Big Grits.
I'm Jack Emanuel. See you later, Big Grits.
I'm Jeff Lebo. I'll see you later, Big Grits.
This is Sean May. See you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network, brought to you by Crumley Roberts. Visit CrumleyRoberts.com today to find out how they can stand up for you.